Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Well, hello, peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree, and you have reached Bree Life Radio. Tonight, we'll be experiencing part two of Bree's Block Party. Bree's Block Party came from a concept of being one of 2,300 members in a group called I Grew Up in Crown Heights on Facebook. Benet, who is one of the administrators of the group, was on our show last week as my co-host. So tonight we're going to have part two of that segment because there were a lot of people that called in and weren't able to get a chance to talk about their remember when moments. But here's another concept. I also want to open up the phone lines to people all over the country because when you think about it, kids of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, if you were a person of color and you lived somewhere in the country, you were impacted by what was going on with music and civil rights and the women's rights movement. So that affected all of us. And just like it affected all of us, I'm sure that these are the ties that bind with street games and, you know, listening to music, house parties, the red light and blue light in the basement. All of those things makes the ties that binds between us. So for all of the listeners and those who are interested in calling in, you can do so at 424-220-1862. Again, that number is 424-220-1862. You can also follow us on Bree Life Radio at Facebook, Bree Life Radio at Twitter, and, of course, blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. So I'm going to take a caller right now. He's not a caller that's coming from Crown Heights or Brooklyn, New York. Of course, he is Mark from Houston, Texas. And let's hear what his experience is growing up being that he was probably a kid of, I don't want to date him. I don't want to put his business in the street. Let's let him tell you. Peace and blessings, Brother Mark.
Peace and blessings, Sister Bree. What's going on, man? What's going on? So Mark from Houston, Texas. What did Mark from Houston, Texas do when he grew up? When he was growing up? Well, you know, it's
first
kind
of
funny
all,
because Mark,
as
Mark
what as I always start, I request all of the callers do when they call in. You got to say where you grew up, what street you grew up on, what elementary, middle school, and high school you went to, and give us like maybe two or three of your most favorable remember wins.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, Mark from Houston, Texas, grew up in Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago. And I went to, well, we didn't have middle schools in Chicago. We only had elementary schools and went to high school. So we didn't have middle schools when I was coming up in Chicago. So I went to, I started off at Shoesmith Elementary School, but then we had to move, which was so unbelievably traumatic. See, coming from a big city like Chicago, similarly, I'm sure, coming from New York, it'd be almost kind of like if you were living in the Bronx and you had to move to Brooklyn when you was in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Quite traumatic, believe me, because like all your friends, I mean, for real, like that kind of distance, because that was about the distance from Hyde Park in Chicago all the way to the South Chicago area, which was more on the east, southeast side. So it was kind of interesting because, I mean, you know, I had grown up on like 48th and Dorchester in Chicago, and then we moved to 79th and Colfax, which was like a whole other world. And like I always tell people, because by me being out in the South, a lot of people that live in Houston didn't come from Houston or something. And so a lot of them live in small towns outside. And he said, well, you came from a big city. I said, well, the funny thing about it was my neighborhood, my block was like our world. I mean, Chicago being as huge as it is, it might as well have been a whole nother, the west side might as well have been a whole nother city. The north side might as well have been a whole nother city because
mm-hmm.
we know nothing about it. We knew about them blocks around our area. And so we left in about 72 or 3, somewhere in there, and moved over to the southeast side, the South Shore, South Chicago area. And so then I transferred to Myra Bradwell Elementary School. Then after I graduated from Myra Bradwell Elementary School, I graduated and went to Chicago Vocational High School, which is now Chicago Vocational Career Academy or something like that, on
mm-hmm.
87th off of Jeffrey. And so I went there, and then after I, you know, graduated from there, I ended up down south, actually, ended up down at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So, but as a kid growing up, I remember we used to play a game called Strikeout, you know, and what we would do is we would.
Is that something like tag?
No, not at all. It's like baseball. It's like playing baseball, but because, you know, we're in the middle of the concrete jungle. I mean, not that we have parks. Don't get it twisted. And I played Little League, actually, too. So, but a lot of times we want to play, we had a rubber ball that looked just like a regular baseball, but it was rubber, a small, hard rubber ball. And we would make a box on a wall, and we would have, and we would make a square box, and then we would make put X's in the middle of it. And that would be like for the strikeout zone.
Okay.
So somebody would be pitching the ball, and we have regular bat, and we'll just go ahead and we basically playing baseball. You know, basically playing baseball with a rubber ball, a regular wood bat, and instead of having a catcher, because what happens is on the side of a wall, and what
mm-hmm.
we used to play a lot. We have F.W. Woolworths. I don't know if you ever heard of F.W. Woolworths, but most people have heard of Woolworths.
We just call it, in New York, we just call it Woolworths.
And we did, too. We did, too. I'll just give you the full name. For those people who might not, F.W. Woolworths. We just called it Woolworths, too. And, you know, had the lunch counter in there, and, you know, you had the grill in there, and you shopped as well in the store. So, but on the side of Woolworths, we would draw a box. You know, with sometimes with some spray paint, you know, otherwise, and that would be our strikeout zone, and we would play strikeout right there, you know, and then right there also we play four square too. I don't know if y'all ever played that game either, but it was with a basketball, and basically you had a square, and you basically tried to hit the ball in and out of the area before, and your opponent almost kind of like it's playing tennis in a square with a basketball, so to speak. And, you know, you try to knock it in, knock the person, not so much knock it out, but knock the ball into a corner so that they can't access it. And if they miss it, similar to when you miss the volley in tennis, then you get a point. So we used to play that. And then, of course, football. I mean, playing football, you know, in the street, in the middle of the street, you know. And sometimes we're not as bad as the kids are now as far as how I see kids being more irreverent when it comes to walking down the street and not wanting to move. But we did kind of sometimes give you know, drivers a little hard time because we wanted to finish our play. And so, you know, we're playing football, right? And you know how we play football in the street is 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, rush the quarterback type of thing. So, you know, those are things we did, you know, in Chicago back in, when I say that was like between 70, for me it was like 73, 71, somewhere up in there. All the way up to, you know, I graduated from high school in 81, so you probably can figure out my age just by figuring that out. But in any case, that's what we did back in Chicago, some of the things we did. I mean, and the funny thing about it is, you know, we played a lot of other games like shot marbles and, you know, all kind of other stuff. And I grew up in an area that was kind of weird because it was in transition. When we moved over there, the South Shore area used to be mainly Jewish. And
okay.
By the time we moved over there, you could
Jewish.
Scarcely
see a
person. Are
you talking about regular American Jews, or are you talking about like the Hasidic Jews that I grew up in Crown Heights knowing?
Well, here's the thing. South Shore actually had a mixture of both. They had a mixture of both because that's where any Jews that came to Chicago, they landed over on the south side. Most of them landed over on the south side of the city. You know, so a lot of the schools, it was weird because some of the schools, they took over the buildings after most of the Jews just left. And actually the weird part about the Jews, when the Jewish community moved more to the north side, the Rogers Park near Evanston, Illinois, near Northwestern University, which is like, you know, 30 miles away on the in the opposite direction, you know, on the north side. But prior to that, South Shore was a heavy Jewish Hasidic as well as, you know, the Americanized Jews. So you could see a mixture of it. But we didn't really, like I said, deal with it. South Shore High School used to be all Jewish, basically.
Right.
You know, and then so I guess through the 60s, because my stepfather went to the same high school that I went to, and he was there when, I don't know, people remember a football player by the name of Dick Butkus, who used to play with the Chicago Bears. But anyway, Dick Butkus went there during the same time. He was going there. So, but when he was going there, he was like one of like, you know, a handful of black people that were there, and a lot of Jewish and Polish kids, because Chicago has a huge diverse community of Jews, Polish, Ukrainians, a large Irish community. Obviously, people might know that by the name of the legendary Richard Daley, the mayor. But yeah, a lot of Irish people there, but now is even, you know, you can imagine it's a heavy Hispanic, not Hispanic, Mexican. I want to say Mexican because I don't like to say Hispanic because it's so broad. It's so broad, so that makes anybody speak Spanish. Specifically, trust me, Mexican, heavy Mexican community, you know. So, you know, being a large city, used to be the second city for the longest, still has a nickname, second city. Outside of New York, that was like, you know, the biggest city, and of course Los Angeles is. And right now I'm in the fourth largest city. Chicago's the third, and the fourth largest city is Houston, so who knows how long Chicago will even hold on to the third. But in any case,
okay.
I
want you to hold on for a second because I see that my sister, Benay, is on the line, and she's the administrator of the group. I grew up in Crown Heights. So without further ado, to all my listeners, this is Benay.
He's
in Pleasant.
Hi, Bree.
Hi, Vinay. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. And as usual, we have Mark from Houston, Texas on the line with us.
Hi, Mark from Houston,
Benet.
Texas.
How you doing, Benet?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I am well. I cannot complain.
Beautiful.
You know, Benet, I want to ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. I noticed that we have a new sister group to I grew up in Crown Heights.
Yes.
Are you also an administrator of I'm a Brooklyn Knight for Life?
Yes.
Okay. For all the listeners, why don't you tell us again, for those who didn't have an opportunity to participate in last week's show, why you started the original group that I grew up in Crown Heights, and what also provoked this sister group, I'm a Brooklyn Knight for Life. I can guess, but I want you to tell.
The reason that I started, I grew up in Crown Heights, was because I was searching for a group that represented Crown Heights. And what I found was nothing that represented me. So I just started it because I'm not living in New York at this time. And
mm-hmm.
it was just a way to connect with people who had lived in Crown Heights, you know, see what their experiences were. If they had
mm-hmm.
as much fun as I did growing up there.
Right. Right. Now, tell us where did the idea for I Am a Brooklyn Knight for Life evolve? Where did that come from?
Because I belong to a group called, I think it's called I Grew Up in Brooklyn. And they represent an age group like, from probably 60 on up. You know, they're dealing with Brooklyn in the 50s and the 40s and
right.
the 30s. And, I mean, it's just kind of out of sync for me. So I had started a page called Brooklyn for Life, but I started it as a page, and I wanted to move it to a group, but I wasn't able to do that. So I deleted that page on I think it was this weekend, and I went ahead and started, you know, I'm a Brooklyn Knight for life, you know, just for some energy, you know, just to connect, just to have fun. That's all. That's
well,
all.
Energy
it's
is
all
definitely
a fun
word you can use for I grew up in Crown Heights, because, like I said, listeners, there's about 2,300 members. And every day, from the crack of dawn to till midnight, even afterwards, because, you know, we all are on different time schedules. There are people
right.
longer live in the same time zone, so they're up rather late.
Yes.
The group is popping all day, all night. And today, I was reminded by my very good friend Chris of something that I wanted to talk about last week that I didn't get a chance to, and it was one of my remember wins. I remember in 1993 when we had the Crown Heights riots, and it actually happened the day that my grandmother died.
Wow.
And so impactful to me, because I didn't have a car. And I needed to take a cab over to my aunt's house where all of my family was gathering, and I couldn't get a cab for about 3 or 4 hours to get over to my aunt's house. And I mean, aside from the riot being as crazy as it was, and I'm standing in front of my house watching, it seems like thousands and thousands and thousands of people walk down and in the middle of Carroll Street heading towards Utica Avenue and heading towards President Street. And I'm saying, this is a really bad day. This is not just a bad day because I lost my grandmother, but this is a really bad day.
Weren't you scared, like standing there?
I was very afraid. I was very, very afraid. I mean, because like I said, and how you and I and Karen were talking last week, when we think of Crown Heights, we think of being on tree-lined blocks, playing in the middle of the street, and it being a happy time.
Yeah.
And the mood was the complete opposite. I mean, people were engaged.
Wow.
And I mean, people were coming from different neighborhoods. There were people coming from Nashville and East New York, and I mean, all the surrounding areas that border Crown Heights, East New York, Brownsville, Bed-Stuy, Flatbush. All those surrounding neighborhoods, there were people who were coming from those neighborhoods to descend on President Street.
Wow.
Where this incident took place. And it was just a very scary day. I think of all the days that I ever remember living in Crown Heights, that was I think for me, that was the worst day.
And you know what's really bad? When you Google Crown Heights, the first thing that comes up are the Crown Heights riots. And I hate that. You know? It's like that.
Right.
It's like the first 100, like, answers to Crown Heights is the riot. Like, that represents Crown Heights, and that's it. And I try to tell people, no, that's not it. That's a phase in the life of Crown Heights. Crown Heights is more than that, because that gives it like a blog, you know, like, ugh, like
right.
It's a blight. So
now,
I personally hate that.
Right. Now, what do you think? You grew up in Crown Heights just as long, I mean, you were born and raised there just like myself. What do you think about the zoning expansion of Crown Heights? Because when I tell people what Crown Heights originally was, they like, are you kidding me? I was like, no. Because Crown Heights was from, my understanding, Crown Heights was from East New York Avenue to St. John's Place to Utica Avenue to New York Avenue. Those are the original borders of Crown Heights. And then Crown Heights started expanding. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think what bothers me the most is not with Crown Heights expanding, but other areas now expanding into Crown Heights and portions of Crown Heights being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And being called, given new names. I think it was a last year they wanted to rename Crown Heights across Eastern Parkway going towards Fulton Street. They wanted to rename that area. I think it was Procro, PROCRO, for Prospect Heights / Crown Heights. And the realtors, they were advertising the area not as Crown Heights, but as Prospect Heights. And that hurt me, that bothered me, because it's like, it's all about the money now. It's
right.
All about the money. But then when you do that, you gradually get rid of the people who have represented the area for so long, you know, pricing them out, moving them out, and so forth. So,
well, when was the last time you came back to New York and was in Crown Heights?
I was in Crown Heights. Is this 2010?
Okay.
I was in Crown Heights.
No, sometimes when I'm walking around, I think to myself, I'm not I'm not on my planet anymore. Because, you know, when I never forget. And when I used to walk to school in the morning, I used to walk to school with a posse of people.
Walking to
Lester. Started picking up people as we
were
on our way to school. Like, we, you know, first, I would be like the first one because I lived the furthest away. Going to, since I lived on Carroll and between Albany and Kingston, going towards 161 and Lefford, so I lived the furthest. So as I'm walking down Carroll Street, I'm picking up my girlfriend Michelle. And then me and Michelle, we continue on walking down Carroll Street. And then by the time we get to Carroll and Brooklyn, Tony Suarez.
By the time we get to
Carroll in New York, Gary Woodford.
Yes.
And Emmanuel Calloway, all the Calloways.
Yes.
Then
I
we start walking
that.
Down New York Avenue. By the time we get to New York Avenue, we're like a mob. But when we walk, but now when I walk around and I think about, wow, you know, this is a different, this is really, really a different place. I don't feel the same.
It is.
But it's nice to have those memories, you know?
It is.
That's what this show today is about. It's not just about Crown Heights. You know, I thought about it, and I received a few emails with people saying, you know, you did a wonderful thing by starting the group.
Oh,
and then I also received some emails that some of my listeners felt that, you know, it'd be a good idea to opening up Bree's Block Party and making it a global event.
Okay.
And they were right.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like I was talking with Brother Mark, who's still on the line. Let us know you there, Brother Mark.
Up here.
Okay.
Up here.
This is the quietest I've ever heard you in all the time
I'm
of knowing you. Boy,
thank God from last week.
Check this out. Wait a minute, because I'm sitting up here and I'm listening to this, and I'm saying, okay, I guess. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at a movie, you know, like I'm looking at Crooklyn or something. You know, I'm looking at some movie with Spike Lee joint or something. And we walking down the street, and we got involved. And remember the Johnson sisters and the Hedges twins. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I knew people like that too. I guess, you know what I'm saying. We walked down Five. We walked down Sunday night, and you know, past Essex to Yates, all over to Jeffrey, and then we was at the beach at Rainbow Beach, and you know, down Commercial and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I can imagine if I start talking like that, y'all be like, okay, yeah. It's kind of like that song by War. Remember that song by War? The World is a Ghetto. You know, it's kind of like, you know, everybody, you know, the world is a ghetto. I mean, you know, and not so much a ghetto
and
it's
it
some
is.
Kind of negative connotation, but the fact that we basically had the same type of experiences that things are different now in most of our neighborhoods because we live more of a vagabond life. I mean, most of us lived in the same place. Most of our children can say they've lived in at least 3 or 4 different places. And
wow.
We would have never been able to say that, you know, because employment,
right.
Various other things, we're more global anyway. And I'm not saying that's bad, because, see, one thing we have a tendency as people that get up in age, and I think about my mom and them, and then I think about my grandma and them, they always look at the days that they grew up in as the good old days. And then after they leave the good old days, they transfer into this whole area of how things ain't the same now. And when they say it, they almost say it like things are bad now, when they say things aren't the same. There'll be a group of kids that'll cherish these times just like we cherish those times. You know what I'm saying? And we may think it because like you was talking about the Crown Heights riots. Can you imagine people who were at that time 50 years old watching something like that transpire? Then they would have said, you know what, that was horrible. When we were growing up, something like that wouldn't have been happening. You know what I'm saying? And we do that so easy. Like, we easily kind of, like, cast this shadow on today as if it's almost like, oh, I'm so glad I ain't growing up in this time. you know, that kind of thing. And you know, I was just listening to the sister talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, we have part of Crown Heights being addicts, so to speak, now, and it ain't the same anymore and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like y'all a little sad about that because it ain't the same place. But the reality is that, you know, I'm sure somebody's enjoying themselves with that annexation or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think that's a good thing because obviously there's some geopolitical, social connotations when anybody does any of those things. But even that being the same, we usually survive those shifts, and some little kid is playing around. He don't even know what's happening anyway, and he's having some fun. You know, so just like when the riots, right before the riots popped off, and even when they were popping off, it was probably little kids didn't know what was going on. You know what I'm saying? It was just like a big brouhaha. Teenagers are probably way more cognizant of it, and of course, folks in their 20s and 30s really were more cognizant of what was going on. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's because I mean, growing up, I'm like 8 years old, and they burning down the west side of Chicago after King is killed.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can remember as a little kid. I kind of remember when Fred Hampton and Mark Clark of the Black Panthers got shot up in 1971, you know, and then we were living right in that same area, and it was kind of chaos. You know, you didn't want to be outside. You know, people, but we didn't know what, I didn't know what the deal was. I just knew these names. I'm 10 years old. I don't really know the connotations of no Black Panthers. But, you know,
right,
that was a big deal. That was a big deal when they shot up the, when they went in there and shot some guys up, you know what I'm saying? And it was talked about all over the United States about Fred Hampton and Mark Clark getting shot by the Chicago police. So, I don't know, you know, it's cool though to talk about it, though, you know, but it's sometimes he's like, ooh, it makes me feel old. We got to talk about all these things and about, you know, the Crown Heights affair, not the group. But anyway, I'm just saying.
And it really was that. And we had some very famous people who were from Crown Heights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Brother Peter.
Yeah.
Old girl's husband from the Atlanta Housewives. He grew up right across the street from you, Benet, right?
Yes, we all played together as kids.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Stephanie Mills.
Yes. Clive Davis.
My friend, my very good friend, Michael Williams, who I went to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade with, who was Omar on The Wire.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Oh, from The Wire. And my high school friend, you know, I ain't gonna do that.
Who are you talking about?
I was gonna say, you know, my friend I went to high school with, Michael Bayes, you know, he made crying in the dark, which is a funny thing to me sometimes. I think thinking about that. And then, you know, I actually, Grammy Award winning gospel keyboard songwriter Kevin Bonds, you know, and. And I mean, I go. There's a lot of people that, you know. I went to school 2 years, well, 4 years ahead of me in the same high schools. Bernie Mac went to high school with me. It's, you know, when you come from a city like Chicago and New York, that's rich in especially the arts.
Yeah.
You don't always have, you know, these great, you know, because my uncle, who was Don Mollick, who played saxophone song on Reasons, of course, born in Chicago, you know, and the majority of the group actually are from the far from Chicago, south side of Chicago. And, you know, it's just going to be rich like that because that's where we were at them times.
Right.
And all these groups and all this music and all this art and all this acting came from neighborhoods like our neighborhoods, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Crown Heights, I mean, when I do my history on Crown Heights, it's kind of an interesting neighborhood because when I think about it, It had a heavy Jewish composition, you know, and that's quite interesting because, you know, blacks and the Jews, they kind of did some things on the civil rights, but to be truthful, they wasn't the most, you know, they didn't look upon us with that great favor, Jewish people in general speaking. You know, they conducted themselves somewhat properly with us just because, you know, because of some of the religious connotations, but I don't
and
know.
And that's exactly
it.
It is religious connotations. It is
right.
That they keep themselves separate.
Right, right. But to me, that's just another way. Are they keeping themselves separate because they see us and they see him? you know, and Ishmael.
Well, they keep themselves separate from the world because they were called out by God. But what happens is when in Crown Heights, the Jewish population, they took a vote to stay in Crown Heights when all of the other white families were moving out to Long Island, and it was like the great white flight out of Crown Heights. The Jewish population took a vote and said, we'll stay.
Right.
And that's why they're still there.
And see, they
in Crown Heights. And then they have their synagogue, the major synagogue there as well.
And they did just the opposite in our community, because the community that I moved into, South Shore, they ran to the north side, to the Rogers Park, Evanston area in Chicago and so forth. But they left. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of the symbols are still there, because especially we got old buildings and old synagogues that turned into community centers. They still had, you know, Stars of David on them somewhere, you know, different types of remnants of the fact that, you know, they were here, you know what I'm saying? So that's quite interesting that they stayed when you all were coming up, so to speak, but they still felt the way they felt about the things that they felt, you know. And so now you're living around people that feel maybe a little different about things than maybe you do. And now you're in their area. But it was funny, when I was talking to Bree's mom, she was mentioning how the fact that, you know, hey, because we talk about, like, you know, Bedford-Stuyvesant and the various other places, you know, Flatbush, whatever, you know, different other little neighborhoods in Brooklyn. And she was like, nah, we won't be living around all them people. I'd rather live around these Jews. She was talking about it from a standpoint of safety and security, you know.
Those about
like
your
Yeah, like the blight of the rest, you know, like all them other people over there. You know, them people are, no, we don't go over there. You know, not them. You know, I'm like, but they're all Brooklynites, right?
Well, here's the thing,
like,
you know.
No.
Oh,
no, baby.
Heck, my mother in the bowels of degradation. My mother grew up in Bed-Stuy. She grew up on Quincy Street between Marcy and Nostra. That's where my mother's from. Most of my mother's family. My uncles, my great uncles, they had restaurants and cleaners, dry cleaners, in Bed-Stuy.
One of the reasons
why I'm catching heat from my great aunts and my aunts that are still living is because I was only talking about Crown Heights last week. They was
they
like, well,
hear
what about so
and
so? I said, well, then come to the damn show and talk about.
Whenever you start talking about your area, you know how it is. People are first of all, they wax whimsically about their neighborhoods, number one. Number two, it's like their neighborhood was their world. It wasn't just a neighborhood.
Right.
That was my city. It wasn't New York City. It was Crown Heights. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I was telling people, I said, when you grow up in your neighborhood is kind of like a small town. And so I would run into people in small towns, and they would say, well, you from Chicago, you from that big city. I'm saying, but the reality was, I didn't live in that big city. I lived in my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't know the big city like that. You know, when we had the chance to go visit some people, a cousin over here, when I went to the cousin house, I might as well have went to another city to meet, because I know this place. You know, it was my area.
And you know what surprises me when I meet people from Brooklyn and they say they've never, ever been out of Brooklyn? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. What do you mean you've never been out? You mean to tell me you've never been over the bridge or in the tunnel?
I'm telling you.
Remember we had this conversation and you said how you was, it was me, you, and Gail one day talking. And you were talking about how you went to the Bronx, you went over here, you went over there. I'm telling you, I went to high school, to college with kids that came from the Bronx and said they had never been to Brooklyn. Ever. And I understand that because I know folks on the south side of Chicago that had never been on the west side. Never.
Amazing.
But you know why, though? Because what happened was our level of socialization a lot of times when your parents come home, they come home, cook, do whatever, go to bed, whatever the case. You ain't going a whole lot of places. When you're playing around in your neighborhood, unless you go to a high school outside of that area.
Right.
You know, because of busing or something, you ain't going to know nothing about that. You come home, you're having fun with your friends. You ain't going to be going 15 to 20 miles away to play with nobody.
Right.
You know, your grocery stores, you remember, we had everything was in our area for the most part.
At your fingertips.
You know, and the only places we would go that would be so super special would be what we call, y'all would call it Manhattan probably, I don't know. Oh, I don't know if y'all went to Manhattan for shopping or any reason, but we could call downtown. And
we have a downtown, and it's Fulton Street.
Okay, Fulton Street.
And
so
that's
we would go downtown.
That's where all the stores were. There was a department store called A&S. But even before A&S, there was another department store that my mother used to drag me in every Saturday looking for curtains. But, Nate, what's the name of that store?
Martin's, Corvettes, McCrory's.
Nope. One more. It starts
Martin's
with an
Corvette,
M.
Martin's, Corvettes, McCrory's. What else was down there?
Mays.
Oh, God, Mays. Oh, my God,
oh
I love
my
that store. I hate it
she
when
she would drag me into Mays on Saturday morning. I hated that place. I hated it. I hated that place. Okay, here's another remember when for me. And it's not a Crown Heights remember when. It's just a general remember when. And maybe, Benet, maybe you might know about this place. Speaking of Fulton Street, I never forget, I was a little girl. And my mother always liked to buy meat from, she didn't like to buy meat from the supermarket. She liked to go to either Belmont Market and go to the butcher. Or we go downtown, remember when Omaha was on Atlantic Avenue?
Oh, Benet? I'm thinking Atlantic Avenue.
Well, Omaha
and what?
West Beach.
Atlantic Avenue and what?
Where the terminal is now.
Right there by the Long Island Railroad?
Yeah.
Going way back, wow.
To be Omaha. Well, anyway, my mother dragged me to Fulton Street in Bed-Stuy, and there was this place where they were selling meat. You know, like it was a butcher, but it was like a slaughterhouse. I never seen nothing like this in my life. And you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I was messed up after she took me in there. And you know what they had hanging on
hogs heads?
They had
go ahead.
Possum.
Possum?
Possum.
Uh-oh.
Who would want to eat a possum from Brooklyn? It's probably
that's
me.
Right. You will come down here for that.
Hanging out the train station.
I see possums every day.
I don't like rodents. And here's the thing. I was messed up.
You might as well eat a rat.
Thank you.
Oh, you can find me for that too. You're hungry enough. Don't be picking one animal over the next. They all animals.
Yeah, but those animals hang out in the New York City subway.
hey, well.
Oh, let me tell you, my escapades going into the city last Thursday. I get off the train at Worth Street. As soon as I get off the train and I make
a rat
stretched out. On its dead. And Benet, this rat was as big as it was big. I mean, it was enormous.
Oh.
Everyone is complaining about the rats. I know when the Twin Towers fell, like it was a big rat population because they had to find somewhere new to live. You know, they lived up under.
They've been talking about that a lot, though. If you Google rats in New York right now, it's a big problem there. I'm like, really?
Everybody's talking about that.
Imagine that. I thought it was always a big rat problem there. I didn't know it.
I mean, but they had places to go. You know, they live, you know, underneath the World Trade Center and in the subway. But now they're, like, out in the open. And you're like, they're walking
they ride in Brooklyn. They ride
in the subway. I always thought that the rats
I don't know why the subway can't keep going up when rats is riding them. They should be charging them to ride
the subway. They need somebody to pay.
I'm sorry.
The rats ain't paying.
Oh,
the rats ain't paying. They're running away, people. So now you got to run the fares up.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so now, you know what? If we're going to do it, remember when, here's a universal thing. Y'all got to tell me about some candy y'all used to eat, the candies y'all used to eat, because I bet you I ate a lot of the same candies we ate.
Oh, Swedish Fish, Now Later.
Don't eat that.
Sour
later.
Pops.
Yeah.
I love Sour Pops.
Oh, my goodness. We used to have you have to eat anything called wine.
Sour pop? What's that?
Huh?
What's sour pop?
Oh, they were delicious. They were, I think they were made by the people who made the Tootsie Roll Pops. And they were, like, sour on one side and sweet on the other. And, I mean, they did it for me, you know, because I wanted something, like, sweet but, like, tart. Oh, my God.
Sound like you going in.
Wine candy.
I'm
serious.
For the sour pop.
Yes.
No, you know what I like? I liked Now-A-Laters. Watermelon Now-A-Laters.
Yeah, we did. Everybody watched them.
And of course, Ranches.
And what?
She said Charleston Shoes.
Charleston Shoes? Okay.
Charleston Shoes.
Who's a Charleston
Shoes? The years.
Oh,
Charles
no.
And Chico sticks.
Yeah,
they had Chico sticks.
Chico sticks,
yeah. That is a Chico stick. Oh, wait a minute. That's a peanut butter hard brittle stick.
It was coconut rice and yellow and hard.
And it had peanut butter in it, right?
Who knows what that was?
I don't know if that was peanut butter, but it was kind of like coconut. Like, and yeah, you know, glazed, kind of like.
And then,
you know,
like, when you bit into it, it would, like, fall apart.
Right.
Yeah, there was
right.
something in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Put peppermint in y'all pickles.
Oh.
Peppermint in the pickles.
Y'all ever do that?
No.
In Chicago, we used to put peppermint in the middle of a big old sour pickle that you get out of one of them big old jars.
And do what with it?
And put it in the middle of it.
And eat it?
And eat it, yes. Yes, we did.
Nah, that's
no comments. No comments.
No comments.
That's Chicago. See, that's a Chicago thing, boy. Oh,
wow.
We used to eat all that kind of stuff. And we used to eat the stuff called wine candy. I don't know if you ever heard of wine candy, but basically, y'all probably would have called it maybe rock candy. It was like clear. Just like a clear candy almost. And it was hard, but we called them wine candy because it had kind of like a funny little taste. But they came in a lot of different flavors, you know, watermelon, it's cherry, grape. And it used to be for, because we used to call it penny candy. And it was all them candies that you can just get basically for a penny. And we would go to the corner store, and everybody had, you know, it was like folks in Chicago anyway, folks used to be selling candy out of their basement. You know, somebody on the block would go to the wholesale spot off on like on 71st right off of the Dan Ryan Expressway and get all this candy and just come back. And that used to be somewhat of a hustle. People be selling them candies, you know, Tootsie Rolls, everything, all that kind of stuff. So we would do that. And then what else we used to have that was kind of different? I'm trying to think. See, I don't know, what potato chips did y'all used to eat?
Oh, that's easy. Bonton, baby.
And wise.
Yeah.
Wise. Onion, garlic. You couldn't have a boyfriend if you were eating the onion garlic wise. But my favorite was I ate the barbecue wise.
Yes, Lord.
And I like the plain bontons.
Ooh.
Yeah. And see, we used to do Jay's potato chips. Jay's potato chips are okie dokie, popcorn. We used to have that. That's it. As a matter of fact, Jay's still makes their popcorn. Jay's. That's right.
Oh, oh.
That's right. By Jay, it was Jay's actually made it. Yeah. Had that in. We had the sweet and sour potato chips. Man, sweet and sour potato chips was a bomb, boy. Oh, my goodness. Sweet and sour potato chips.
Sweet and sour potato chips?
Yeah, pour some pickle juice on them.
No, you know what we, pickle juice.
No comment.
No comment.
Yes, indeed. And the pickle
juice. No. Uh-uh.
Yes,
you know what we used to eat? Wait. Danae, you know, what could you get for 15 cents in a cake form?
What, those Drake cakes? Oh, those little
no.
Debbie?
The honey buns. Remember the honey buns?
Yes, I
oh,
do.
Oh, honey buns.
For 15 cents.
I do.
Oh, I think
I've like a hundred of those things.
Man, them honey buns, oh, my God.
But, you know,
God.
I didn't really like the honey buns in New York. I like the honey buns in the South when we would come here for the summertime. They taste good.
Go where you at? Go
in
where
North Carolina.
Oh, NC, North Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, yeah, them honey buns, though, man, yeah. You know, because the funny thing about it, a honey bun is like something that a lot of companies made. You know that? And they used to come
in. Different in the South. They were so good. Oh, my God. Like a delicacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in New York, I don't know what it was, but, like, in the South, like the honey buns and the gingerbread men. Oh, yes.
She said the gingerbread men.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember gingerbread cookies that we used to buy. It was like a... Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, they were like 5 cents or 10 cents, something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Days of the penny candy.
We would stop by the store before we went to school. This is in junior high school, and we were loaded.
Do you remember the candy store arcade that was on Crown and Nostrand?
Let me get that in my head. Nostrand Avenue.
Down the block from 161.
Where? Oh.
On the same street as 161.
Were the owners older?
Yeah. And they had video machines. They had the first, like, video machines that were in the neighborhood.
Wow.
Miss Pac-Man, huh?
Miss Pac,
girl,
that's right.
Back. That's going back. Wow.
I bought a Miss Pac-Man to hook up to my television, and it distresses me. That's my de-stressor, Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, my God.
Y'all remember Pong? Remember the Atari, the first Atari? I don't know if y'all remember Atari, the first Atari game. And the first game all they had was Pong. Basically, it was like
I love that
almost.
One with the little bars and it's
oh,
back and
oh yeah, like this.
Yes. Pong. I'm like, oh, for real? That's what a video game was. Think about it.
Imagine one of our children Pong right now. They'd be like, "What the hell is this?"
Pong.
And we thought that
really?
That was the best going.
And then finally, Asteroid came out, and then Asteroid was crazy too because you had the little spaceship in the middle spinning, shooting, and all these boulders. Flying at you, you had to shoot them. I remember them.
Yeah,
and then Defender finally
came. Yeah, loved it.
The
loved
Defender
it.
Finally came out. The Defender was a little upgrade, so to speak. But, yeah, oh, man. I remember them games. Atari. The Atari, baby.
And that's funny how things change. I remember when, what's the movie with Darth Vader? Star Wars came out. It was like a huge, like, movie. Like, everybody was flocking to see it. It was so exciting because it used a lot of different technology. And when my son turned, my son was probably like 5, and I said, you know, Star Wars came back out. You know, they were doing like a anniversary or something, and I told my son, I said, you want to go see Star Wars? Like, it's this really big movie when we were growing up. So I took him to see it, and it was on maybe 5 minutes, and he was like, oh, this is boring. You know, just showing how how technology advanced. He's used to, you know, like
he's used to today's Transformers.
The Transformers and all that different. He hated Star Wars.
Avatar.
He was like, this is boring.
But you want to know something? You want to know something? I have never watched one Star Wars movie.
Good for you.
What happened to you? Where was you at? For real?
From 9 o'clock, from nine a.m. to 2 p.m., 2 or 3 p.m., I was at martial arts practice downtown at the church on Hanson Place.
Wait a minute.
After we left there, me and my brother would go to Chinatown and watch real martial arts movies that was speaking in Chinese with the subtitles.
I'm going to ask you, forget the real martial arts movies because nobody's going to be bothered with them. Remember when Bruce Lee movies come out and they were standing out? I don't know if y'all did this, but when we went to those movies, we have our chucko sticks made out of broom handles and man, we be standing out there in the break. It was something else. We be out there, wow. I mean, we was in the Bruce Lee stands like it was nothing. We thought we was Bruce Lee. And then Jeff Kelly, he made it official. Brothers could do karate. That was for real. Yeah,
we had a love affair with Bruce Lee as well. We loved him.
Man,
oh, my
Bruce
God.
Lee was a dude.
I think I cried when he died. I felt like I knew him personally.
Oh, yeah, it was very, very,
like
very emotional for martial artists.
His dad.
Julian, not Percy Julian. What's his name? The dude that was a Mac.
Julian Bond. Julian. I forgot. Julian Bond. Wow.
Oh, man, you know what my flip was? I'm
going to
tell you what my flip was. Across 110th. That was my flick because I didn't know nothing about New York before that movie.
Really?
I know nothing about that before that movie came out. Across 110th Street.
That's a great movie. That's a great
movie.
That was
a good movie, man. I remember Across. I didn't know nothing about New York really until then.
Across what?
110th Street.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw that movie.
Great
movie. Oh, man, that was a
great
good movie.
I didn't watch very many
black exploitation
movies.
Okay.
Yeah, black exploitation. But you know what? The first time I ever came to New York, I couldn't wait to cross 110th Street.
Then you got up there and you were like, are you serious?
And you know what?
It was good. I was loving up there, man. I love going 125th, man. Martin Luther King. I mean, I love Uptown, man. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I mean, I love Uptown because I mean, for me, it reminded me of the South Side of Chicago.
Really?
And, I mean, it really did. If you ever
I don't know if you ever been to Chicago, Vinay, but I used to travel there quite a lot, and practically twice a month when I was working on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, I met a person of color there, and I said, look, I want to go where the people are. I want to go where people that look like you and me are. He was like, okay, I'm going to take you. And, girl, if that place don't look like Brownsville.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it was a problem.
He
took you to some area like that. I'm trying to tell you, Yeah, but you know what? In black, being in Chicago, black neighborhoods were so diverse. You had the Chatham area, which was all lawyers and doctors and politicians. They all live in Chatham, and Chatham to this day is still a real nice. All the houses are old, and then there's this place called Peel Hill. That was right near my high school. I mean, these houses, we used to think they were like Beverly Hills, baby. I mean, it was like these houses were off the chain. And they called it Peel Hill because doctors lived there. Black doctors was all living there. So the crazy thing about Chicago is you could see, you know, you could see black folks that was doing well and you saw the ones that were struggling, the majority of us. But I'm just saying, you know, it was like, it was cool. And then the cool job to have was a city job. Because a city job, I used to remember dudes that drove, that basically drove the garbage trucks. Man, we talking about these cats that have two Cadillacs sitting in their driveway. Because them jobs were pretty high-wage jobs. And they were union jobs, so you ain't had to be able to hardly do nothing. If you could operate, you could hardly read. There's a whole bunch of them cats couldn't read nothing. But they was bringing home some bread back then. And then I remember when the steel mill closed, right, off of Torrance, back off the lake. And, man, when them jobs started leaving because of the steel mill and the auto industry, Gary, Indiana, which is right next door, it never recovered. And a whole bunch of my brothers, they basically, if you lost a good paying job like that and you didn't have no education, what was you going to do? You couldn't do nothing. And
wow.
That really hurt. That really hurt a lot because them blue-collar jobs, they paid a lot of money back then, comparatively speaking. They paid a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know, hey, I mean, you got to have a college degree just about to get anything.
To work at McDonald's, right?
McDonald's ain't no joke. You didn't used to have a high school diploma. You don't have to have a high school diploma. They don't have a whole lot of kids working there after school like they used to. They just don't. It's not.
It was one of my first jobs. My second job because here's my remember when. My next remember when is that my first job was working at Hank's Cleaners, the only black-owned business on Kingston Avenue between Union and President Street, and I worked there off and on for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
I used to make an average of $85 a week, which was a lot for a 13-to-15-year-old. And my mother used to take half of my check every week.
And put it in the bank.
And I was like, you know, I never forget the first week I came home. I was so happy because I was getting paid in cash, and I had $85. And my mother was like, I want 40. I said, 40? What kind of frag-a-knuckle stuff is this? And she was like, listen, I want $40. I was like, ain't this so? I was like, this is like, I cannot believe. I was calling everybody, telling her, I can't believe I'm working, and she taking all my money. And then when I graduated from high school, my mother came to me and she handed me this passbook for the Don Savings Bank, which, mind you, became my fourth job. And I said, what's this? She said, this is all the money that I've been taking from you for about the last two, three years.
Wow.
I was like, why are you giving it back to me? She said, because I was trying to teach you a lesson. Wherever you rest your head, you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
Amen.
She said, you don't live nowhere for free. So here ended the lesson.
Hey, but you wasn't the boss. Hey, but wait a minute. You paid the cost, but you wasn't the boss.
Damn Skippy, not in Shirley's house. Chill. Not in Shirley's house. Which brings me to my next remember when. If I may, many people, you know, called me the next day, Benay, after my hamburger story. And they was like, you forgot to tell us the ending. I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you never mentioned what happened when your mother, after your mother confronted you about what was you doing with 20 pounds of her, why were you cooking 20 pounds of her chopped meat? I said, are y'all slow?
I assumed you got tore up.
My mother tore my behind up, and I was on punishment for the rest of the summer.
No.
Sure.
I assumed that. You didn't have to say anything else to
I'm
me.
I'm like, what's the matter with y'all? You know, my mother tore me up.
You were lucky to be alive after that. 20 pounds.
My mother, she always gets on me. She says, you know, you make me out to be a tyrant. I was like, well, I'm talking to people who know you. I don't have to say too much. They remember you.
And look how you turned out.
People used to come through the alley, and they used to call me Rapunzel. They said, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Can you come outside today or what? I'm like, nah. They said dealing with me was like being in jail. They was touching the glass all the time.
Wow.
I was like, I'm telling you. She's like, oh, I wasn't that bad. I was like, okay.
I made sure not to get on punishment, I'm telling you. I mean, that was like a death sentence for us. If we couldn't go outside, I mean, you might as well just, like, throw me in jail and throw away the key. Like, I had to be outside. I had so many friends. And, I mean, we played games all day long, dodgeball, red light, green light, and then we would race.
Yes,
red light, green light
was my favorite. Hot peas and butter was my absolute favorite
game. Yes, yes.
Hot peas and butter. Mark, do you know about hot peas and butter?
No, red light, green light, though.
No, okay, here's hot peas and butter.
Yes.
Usually the boys on my block, Christopher Reddish, Kevin, Timmy, all the Laysack brothers, let me see, Malcolm Lacey, who lived on my block. Then we had Nicole Robinson, Alicia Smith, Kimberly, Arena. I'm naming names. Simone and Michelle McGee. We had Susie. It would be a mob of us. And we all decide that we're going to play hot peas and butter. Now, this is what hot peas and butter is. You get an inanimate object. Usually it was the jump rope. And then one person gets selected to hide the rope. And the base would usually be my stoop. So everybody would be on the stoop.
Hot
peas and butter, come get your supper. So everybody take off. And everybody looking for the rope. And the closest that the person get to the rope, you know, you say you're warm, cold. This person's cold. This person's warm. This person's hot. This person's burning up. So the person look, they see the rope, then they chase your ass with the rope. And once they tag you, you it. Now, can you imagine 20 kids playing that game?
Oh.
It was like mayhem.
Yes.
That was my favorite game. One of the other things that I used to like to play, and you know what? I want to teach a group of girls this, Benay. What am I getting ready to say? What was a real girls' game back in the 70s, other than double dunk?
I guess like those.
But you're saying, Mark.
I said, boys, we used to jump in the double dutch. We know how to do double dutch. The girls be out there doing it. You want to mess with the girls, you go in, and then they think you're going to be messing up. You be doing it. And then you always had some of the other boys that was kind of, you know, kind of like the girls a little bit, but they could do that. I mean, my boys that was like the girls, we could jump some double dutch. It was like, you always want to bother somebody, so you jump in, you know, and you start doing some double dutch with them, man. You know, that's another. I mean, it wasn't being no punk being able to do that, too, if you get in there and do that.
No boys in Crown Heights jumping double dutch. You know
Well, Mark, you ain't understand. When I say jumping double dutch, I don't mean like they was really. It's like you jump in, and then you find out you can jump it. You can do it. You really was doing it to mess with the girl. But then you got your butt in there. And you start saying, "Oh, okay, I got this. I can do that." You know, and then you basically were just messing with them. Now you got the boys that was doing it for real, but they wasn't like the boys that was messing with the girls that was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, we like girls. But, you know, we didn't know how to like girls. You know what I'm saying? So you had to mess with them.
Yeah,
you
know, I'm going like, to talk about
like
a story
you,
my
wait,
next remember
like
when boys that
hey,
don't know how
like
to tell girls that they like
hey,
them.
Somebody,
wait, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
Say.
Yes.
What about, what is the game that real girls play other than Double Dutch?
I don't know. House?
No.
Oh, those hand games? Huh?
Jacks.
Oh.
Wow.
They
play Jacks, too. Well, I was wrong. They play Jacks, too.
Wow, we used to play jacks during our lunch period in junior high.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And boys used to play marbles.
Yeah.
Well, we play marbles and jacks.
I never saw a guy
see
play
no
jacks.
Boys
play.
No boys in Crown Heights was playing jacks. Not
I never
none
saw a guy
of
play. I'm just telling you, we did everything. You know what I'm saying?
And you
I mean,
saw
was no
was boys on Union Street and Franklin Avenue playing jacks.
Yeah, we ain't
no boys on Franklin Avenue. No Jack.
Never ever.
Never ever. Oh yeah, hell yeah, for real.
Okay, here's my next remember when. And you haven't told any yourself, Benay, tonight. So I'm going
to
charge you with at least three before we before we end the show. But here's my next remember when.
Okay.
I remember when I was in fifth grade and attended PS 161, and there was a boy in Mr. Prager's class by the name of Terrence Lee. And if I remember correctly, he lived on Eastern Parkway and New York Avenue. Well, I never knew who this boy was, but he came up to me one day and said, after school, I'm going to beat you up.
Oh, because he liked
looked
you.
At him. What? He said.
He liked you.
He said, after school, I'm going to beat you up. I said, yeah.
You can't talk about this on
there.
Okay. You can't talk about that on there.
I said, after school, I said, after school, you going to get tore up. Don't mess with me.
He was like, out of elementary school.
He was like,
school.
That's all right. We'll see after school. And Benay, he was really waiting for me after school.
Because he liked you.
And we fought.
Oh, God.
And then guess what?
What?
Next day.
He asked you to be his girlfriend?
I'm walking up the stairs. And, you know, like they used to, in the morning, you know, when the bell sounds, all the kids have to walk up the stairs to go to their respective classes.
Right.
And we lined up by classes. Well, his class was next to mine. I don't know how he found his way next to me, but he spun me around and kissed me.
See? I knew that.
I was
one.
Like, what the hell is this? I thought we just was at war yesterday, and now you're trying to kiss me? Then I pushed him down the stairs. Because I was in shock. First of all, that was like my first kiss on the stairway in front of all the kids,
mm-hmm.
and we was fighting yesterday. Boom, and he fell out like 3-4 steps. Terrence Lee. One thing I remember about Terrence Lee, though, Lord have mercy, he had the next to my son, who has the most beautiful eyes, the longest eyelashes you ever want to see. That was one of the things I remember about Terrence Lee. He had the blackest eyes, like a doll baby's eyes, and long eyelashes like a camel. Chat.
Like a girl.
Terrence Lee was
like
old boy, believe that.
Hey,
he's crazy as hell, but yeah.
Like, he had beautiful eyes and long eyelashes.
Did you end up dating
guys in Chicago playing damn jacks and jumping double dutch, and you talking about somebody's eyelashes being long?
And then it was jacking.
No one lasts 5 seconds on Franklin Avenue.
You know what? When in Rome, you do as the Romans do. You don't worry about all that. See, what they about is you learn how to adapt. You don't worry about that. They ain't playing jacks. We don't play jacks. Or we turn y'all out, one or the other. That's how you do it. I say either A, we'll stop playing jacks, or B, we'll turn y'all out and y'all be playing jacks. It don't make no difference. You know what I'm saying? It's always king of the hill. Whoever is the strongest is what they call it, survival of the fittest. If we can come in strong enough, we can get you to do it. You know what? The funny thing about it is this, and I always remember this, folks that move in from different places, even if it was different parts of the city, had to figure out how to fit in. Now, it depends on what kind of leverage they came in. If they was a super jock, a good athlete, or a big, strong dude or whatever, he might be able to sway some people to his way. Because the funny thing about being young, and it still is that, everybody want to come up with the newest thing. They want to have the newest, hottest, something that somebody didn't know. It's kind of like a new song. I heard this, how you ain't heard nothing yet. Did you hear this? That's old. You see what I'm saying? So if you can come up with something that somebody ain't doing and trumping, you'd be surprised. You can come in, you know, and guys will get names. Like a guy that moved up from Colonel Jackson, we'll call him Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? Because he was from Mississippi. But Mississippi might be cool. And before you know it, Mississippi, who was an outcast, he might be like, you know, like one of the cool cats. You know what I'm saying? It depends. That was like, it's like when I used to go down south, they called me Chicago. And they want to know what we doing up there, you know, what's going on up there. And they want to challenge you because you're from some other place. And if you can survive a challenge, you might be the man. That's how
okay.
So we were hanging out playing jacks.
Okay. I want to hear two of your, now I know after you hung up and, you know, the next day and the week following, you had to have thought about, man, I wish I would have said this, remember when, because I remember when X, Y, and Z and this and that. Come on, girl, give me two remember whens.
Gosh, I have so many remember wins in my head.
Good.
It's like, oh, goodness. Oh, time is ticking away. I remember when it was a sneaker factory in Park Slope, and we would all get together, all the neighborhood kids, and walk to the sneaker factory. I think sneakers were either $10 or $12.
For Pro Kids?
Like Pro Kids. And they had these huge cardboard boxes, like as tall as we were. I was like 5'5 in the fifth grade. I'm 5'5 now. I didn't grow. So, I mean, if I'm 5'5, the boxes
five in the
were like
grade?
Five.
Wow.
Huh?
I said, wow, you were 5'5 in the fifth grade?
Yeah, I was huge.
Wow.
But I never grew after that. I hit 5'5 in the fifth grade, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the boys in the class, they came to, like, my neighbor. They were like, you know. But we all the neighborhood kids, we would get together on Saturday, and we would walk over to the sneaker factory. And we would dig through the box, you know, and you those were like the rejects, the sneakers that maybe had a flaw or two. And, you know, we would just, you know, dig through the box and find sneakers. And that wasn't a good remember when, but I don't know why it popped in my head. And I remember when just walking to school, you know, like you said, how your crew picks you up in the morning, and as you get close to school, the crew just grows. And
yeah, it's like a mob.
Just stopping at the store and buying candy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I went to high school, I hated high school in Brooklyn. I hated Brooklyn Tech. I hated getting on
the train.
Oh,
you went to Brooklyn Tech?
I did. I was so comfortable in my neighborhood because I walked to 241, I walked to IS 320, and now I have to take the train to go to school, and I hated it. I just wanted to stay,
I was
like,
glad
right there.
Now, here's the thing. Oh, my goodness. See, another remember when with Shirley. I took the specialized high school test, and I made 132 on the test. Now, you know, 132, 135 was the highest. So I could have chosen to go to Bronx High School of Science. I could have went to Bronx High School of Science. I could have went to Stuyvesant or Brooklyn Tech.
Right.
Now, of course, Shirley being Shirley, she don't even want me to go past New York Avenue.
Wow.
My mother was like, you're going to go to Wingate. I was like, Wingate?
Wow.
I ain't going to know where. I said, Ma, Wingate is dangerous. She was like, but it's in the neighborhood. I was like, no, Ma, I want to go to Bronx High School of Science. She said,
wow.
You are not getting on a train and going to Bronx, to the Bronx by yourself. And I was like, Ma, but Kim went to Fordham Prep when he was 9 years old on the train.
Yeah.
Why can't I go to Bronx High School of Science? Oh, my God. So you know what wind up happening? By if you did not select the school that you got accepted to by, I believe it was May, you had to get this other list from the Board of Education, and it was a list of, like, I think maybe 20 high schools. And you had to number them 1 through 20.
Wow.
And whichever one they felt matched you the best,
the zone,
that's the high school they were sending you to. So I didn't find out what high school I was going to until September. You know what high school I wound up going to?
Those high schools were elite? Like, those were like the top high schools in New York? Wow.
No.
She didn't really?
They were
wow.
Education of City of New York high schools.
Wow.
But the reason why I chose, well, the reason why I chose this one particular school, because it was supposed to be a school that was geared toward mass communications, which
okay.
I was thinking at that time I wanted to be. When I was like maybe 14 years old, I thought that I might want to be a newscaster.
Cool.
A broadcaster. So I went to King, Martin Luther King High School.
Wow.
I went there for a year, and I got the heck out of there.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I went to Washington Irving.
Yeah.
Because my major, of course, because of Shirley, was nursing.
Washington Irving, that wasn't like a step up from Martin Luther King. That was like, woo.
Well, yes and no.
Oh.
I know. It was before an all-girls school. It was rough.
Oh, it was rough up in there. It was rough. Those women
were
like men.
Oh, I know that firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Yeah, that was, that's my remember when. That's
wow.
One of my remember wins.
And my mother wanted me to go to Tech. I did not want to go because I would have been separated from my best friend. My best friend was Karen Branch. We went through junior high school together. We met each other in the fifth grade, and from there we were like best friends through junior high school, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. And then when we got to, you know, you pick your high schools in New York like you pick colleges. So we
mm-hmm.
picked our high schools. And I think she didn't make it into Tech or something like that.
Right.
She went to a school out in, I think, Bay Ridge. And that's where I wanted to go so I could be with her, you know, so we could still be
what
friends.
What school in Bay Ridge was that?
Where did she go in Bay Ridge? I can't remember. It was
she went to
Bay Ridge or Bensonhurst, huh?
Where did she go? She said Bay or Edward R. Murrow, John Dewey.
No, my sister went to John Dewey, no. It was
when did your sister graduate? Do you remember? Older than you?
She left John Dewey and graduated from Boys High, I think like in 78 or 77 or something like that.
Yeah, go on. I graduated
yeah.
from 161 in 1978.
Yeah. But, you know, like, my girlfriend went to one school, you know, and, like,
I went to Tech. I hated Tech after that. I didn't even want to open the doors.
Did you go
to
school with James Spencer? You remember James Spencer?
No. No.
Okay.
From Tech?
I'm trying to think. Who else went to Tech that lived in Crown Heights?
I went to Tech. Kim Coles went to Tech. Brian Cole went to Tech. Godfrey Goodrich. And I think it was maybe two or three more people from our junior high. But it was like eight of us who went to Brooklyn Tech.
Okay. Mark.
Yep.
So, why don't you tell, I mean, tell us about your family makeup. I mean, do you have siblings? What did you and your siblings do? Did you play with your siblings, or did you have friends outside? Because, you know, usually when people have brothers and sisters that are in their age group, they play with each other. But sometimes, you know, you have that one child, usually it's the middle child, that has their own identity crisis thing going on, and they usually stray out of the pack and, you know, make their own way.
That's
so what was your situation? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I was the one that strayed out the pack, and I was number one.
Okay.
Because it was no pack. It was two girls under me. So I mean, really, and my sister was there. My middle sister was a stair step, and my other sister was my baby, because she was born like 5, 6, 7 years after me. So you know, so that's still my baby. But anyway,
that's cute.
That's my baby. Next to my daughter. So that is my baby. But it was me and my sister Susan and my sister Beverly, and I was the oldest. And my sister Susan, which was the middle child, used to beat me up when we was like 5, 4 years old. She 3 or 4. It was like up in there. I remember she hit me in the head with one of them wood shoes, like you know that wood shoe with the kids in it or whatever. Mother Goose or some, I don't know.
A shoe with a key in it.
Kids. No, like what's the name of that shoe? It was a toy. It had like mother somebody had so many kids she didn't know what to do. It was like a shoe. It was a shoe. Anyway, and it was like little, you could put kids inside the shoe. It was like a toy. Anyway, somebody that might remember this thing, whatever. I'm going to look for it online because I'm sure somebody got it. It's probably sell for $20 million now or something like that. But in any case, it was an old shoe.
I know what you're talking about. It. I had one when I was like in second grade.
I know
grade.
You know what I'm talking about. It's a toy.
I don't know.
What you, anyway.
Uh-huh.
But she hit
if
me
it had anything to do with dolls, I didn't like dolls when I was a kid.
It wasn't a doll. No, it wasn't. But anyway, she hit me in the head with the daggone shoe, and, you know. And, of course, that hurt. And I cried. And yes, I did. And I appreciate that. But in any case.
Thank you for your honesty, Mark.
Yeah,
for real.
We need to get Mark Luther right about now.
Me and Cryo Radio. Anyway. Anyway, so she hit me upside the head with the shoe. And, you know, she used to do stupid stuff like that for like about a year. But then the table started turning really quickly because, I mean, I started getting older and bigger, and I was like, you're not
bigger, right?
Because girls are bullies. Girls are bullies. They're bossy. They like to take over when you're little. So you got to deal with them when they're real little. But, you know, the tables do turn. And then they go back again when they get older. But anyway, so.
We'll find out about that on tomorrow's radio show. What do women really want? So please call us.
So
call
they
in.
Want to be bullies.
See the women out
anyway,
there.
So back to my story. You don't bully me. I see you bullying now. Anyway, so
it's my show.
See, I go that none of that happens. So she hit me in the head. But anyway, so eventually the tables tired of you. Basically, I was like, you know, you need to move around, little girl. You know what I'm saying? And she could never do nothing with me after that. And that was okay because she didn't need to be bothering me. But she used to do all kind of different little stuff. You know, she kind of a weird child. Love her. She's an accountant. So that means that lets you know how she's weird. Trust me. Accountants are weird. Real anal.
So you learn how to weave and duck, huh?
Oh, yeah. Real quick. I was good at that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. No. My sisters, they were my baby sisters were always tail on me. Like every, and I love her though, but we called her the old refrigerator because she couldn't keep her nose shut. I mean, she would always be telling on me, always, you know. And she would always get me messed up with little girls I like, because she would tell other girls that another girl was over, had come over the day before or something. I'm like, why you talk so damn much? Oh my God! See, you know, she used to always, I remember she used to give me a show. Oh, I got a story for you. Rosalind Brown. I got to tell you about Rosalind Brown. Rosalind Brown was my first girlfriend. I call her a real girlfriend anyway.
This was in eighth grade. Rosalind Brown?
No, not the actress, but she was an actress. Anyway.
Okay.
No, not that actress. That Rosalind Brown. Rosalind Brown. Rosalind Brown. I ain't going to never forget that. We dated. In eighth grade, we was going to go to high school. She came to me on a Wednesday or Tuesday evening, and it was in the fall. And I remember she came to me and she told me, she said, "I found another boyfriend, and we're going and so me and you are going to break up on Monday."
Sound like Gerard Johnson from Martin Luther King High School.
Wait a minute. Wait. She told me we were going to break up on Monday. On Monday. So wait a minute. So I'm thinking to myself, how the hell are you going to come and tell me almost a week before you break up with me that you're going to break up with me? And who you going to be? Whose girlfriend you going to be?
She was giving you disclosure.
Disclosure.
How's about that?
Disclosure. Wait a minute. She was still my girlfriend. So,
she was giving you disclosure.
No, she was kicking me to the curb. That's what she was doing. So I'm sitting up here thinking, wait a minute. So I'm going to be your girlfriend for 6 days and then it's over with? I said, oh, no, it's over now. I'm mad. So then I came to the house, and my best friend Daryl was over at the house, who's still actually my good friend. His mom still lives next door to my mom. In the same house we grew up in. And I remember I came in the house, and he was sitting in the front room talking to my mom. And I just walked right past him and went to my bedroom and closed the door.
And started crying.
And it was like, I heard them say, Rosalind. They said, because we used to call her Tootie. That's her nickname, Tootie. And they was like, oh, boy, it was Tootie. And then Daryl come back to my door. You all right? I said, man, leave me alone. I wasn't crying. I was just mad. Actually, I wasn't crying. I was just mad. Right, How you going to break up?
Did you sign a prenuptial, Mark?
Listen, Mark needs therapy.
No.
I understand.
She kept her bubble gum ring, I gave her.
That's why Mark is not responsible for...
So
people's
emotions. Wait a minute. So she left me for this guy named Michael, who, by the way, she's still married to. That's kind of crazy. Anyway,
wow.
That was in 1977. That's deep, right. She never had another boyfriend.
Wow.
But anyway, I came home from college and like for one year, like 80 and 83. And I was downtown Chicago, and as fate would have it, I ran into Rosalind. And so we had lunch, and we was eating lunch, and we was laughing, talking about school and everything. I said, you remember when you told me ahead of time you were going to leave? She said, you still ain't got over that. I said, no, I got over it. I said, but don't you think that's funny? I said, I have never heard in my life, I have never heard anybody telling somebody ahead of time that they're going to be breaking up, but we're going to still be together until that day. And when that day ends, it's over. I said, don't you think that was crazy? She said, you know what she said? You still ain't over it.
She was right. And she was right. So moving right along, here's my next remember when. I'm moving around now. And I'm moving around now. So my next remember when is Gerard Johnson, 1982, Martin Luther King High School.
Mm-hmm.
We used to ride the train home together, along with a few other people. One of those people who happened to be one of our guest callers, our regular guest callers, Anwar Rowlands from Places Unknown. And Gerard Johnson used to say to me, Sabrina, I'm going to ask you to be my girlfriend tomorrow. And this used to go on every day. On the train, before you get off the train. And I'd look at him like he's crazy. I mean, I said, this is a fragonacle in the making. How you going to say to somebody, I'm going to ask you to be my girlfriend tomorrow?
The same way you can tell somebody that you're going to break up with them next week.
Both of you need therapy now.
Please get brother down some therapy.
That's a good one. Do y'all remember Jeepers?
Who?
Jeepers. Sears had a gym shoe called Jeepers. They were like Converse. They were canvas. They were like Converse All-Stars. But they were not All-Stars, and you knew that they weren't All-Stars. They were called Jeepers. That's why. You know, and for those who couldn't afford All-Stars, they had Jeepers.
You know, Jeepers, I wonder if like his Jeepers are our rejects.
Rejects, yeah.
You know, that's rejects. What I'm thinking? They canvas, but they black,
there.
And they had a white, hard toe.
Yeah, but these were
like
sold by Sears. These were sold by
Sears. I think
Sears.
Those were rejects today.
They were. They
Sears?
Are rejects.
Did y'all have Sears there?
Yeah, we had Sears.
They were sold by Sears. And then folks, Coaches, too. I don't know if you remember Coaches.
Well, we had a song about them. But Nate, how'd the song go? What a year and here it go.
They make your feet feel fine. Rejects.
Rejects.
They cost $1.99. Rejects. Come get your rejects. Come get your rejects and reject today.
Yeah, them the shoes that y'all got from Woolworths. See, the Woolworths used to have them shoes. And I
well, they used to have them everywhere. They used to have them in Woolworths. They had them. I don't know about Sears, but they had them in
Pathmark.
No, they
didn't have them in Sears. I know what you're talking about.
Didn't they have them in Pathmark, Renee?
Yeah, they had them.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here's another remember when. I'm naming names tonight again. And this is a fellow admin of yours, Daniel Ivey.
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel Ivey and I have known one another practically from birth. I have pictures of me and Daniel in the playpen together because
post
our mother was friends.
Post them.
So Daniel came to my 6th birthday party, and he bought this yellow truck. That do you know he's still asking me about? He's like, Bree, I want my yellow truck. I said, what yellow truck are you talking about? He said, the yellow truck that I left at your house at your 6th birthday party.
Are you serious?
He said, Daniel, I'm 43 years old now. You asking me about some yellow truck?
Say, look, that's the market.
Wow.
Every time I see him, before he walks away and he gives me a big hug and kiss, And he's like, I'm coming back for my yellow truck.
Oh, my
I'm God. Like, okay, as long as you keep coming back, I don't care. I don't know if I'm going to have the yellow truck. Just keep coming back, brother.
Everybody needs therapy tonight, huh?
You said what? Everybody needs therapy tonight. That's right.
Everybody
that's right.
Hey,
well, there it is. This is not as far back. This is a little more later. Remember Pagers?
Remember who?
Pagers. Beepers.
Oh,
beepers
yes.
Remember beepers. Remember beepers when you only got two numbers in the beeper?
Yes.
You know, you had two different numbers. You had one and two. And they was like the little old Motorola beepers. They were like hard. And they had like a green, like, I don't know what color that was, the background, like the old LED. The first beeper I had, man, that was funny because my girlfriend, who ended up being my wife, I'd be like, man, why do I have this? This is like an electronic leash. It's like, so you expect me to find a phone every time you page me. And if I don't find a phone, quick, because the cool thing about beepers, though, you still have to find a phone. So,
that
so
word
you
sounds so obsolete now, beepers. Oh, my God.
No,
it's like my memory is like, wow.
I remember I don't remember the numbers one and two, but
wow.
I do remember the pages that I had. And you know what? I remember the company that made the first pager I ever bought. It was made by Pager America.
Wow.
And you call an 800 number. A person
mm-hmm.
would answer the phone, and you would tell them what you wanted your message to be. They would type it up, and it would come across the screen. That's the pager I remember. That was in the year of 1994.
Yes.
Do you remember the SkyTel pages?
SkyTel pages, yes. The Page America became SkyTel.
Yes, because those were SkyTel pages, and they used to have like two to three lines. They were the larger rectangle ones.
Yeah,
and you actually those were expensive. What was you doing? You were hanging out with them dudes, was you?
I was working on Wall Street. Thank you very much.
Okay, I was going to check the black folks. I knew. Hey, the black folks I knew that had them. They was doing the thing. They were
not true. Not true. I beg to differ. Not true.
The big SkyTel pages. What was you doing with the SkyTel pages? You must have been out there on the avenue.
Doing my
yo.
Thing. Working on Wall Street. Thank you very much.
Hello.
On the avenue, yo. Your son, what you on the avenue doing, son?
And he keep talking about the brook.
And
then he drags Biggie into it. So I'm like, well, Biggie
hey,
said
Biggie
it. I said, well, you ain't Biggie.
Hey, Biggie the one said that. I'm going to get the record that he said it off
of. Oh, you can go get the record, but we just
so
not refer. Come on. The next. We refer to Brooklyn as the Brook.
No.
Never.
That's okay.
Ever.
He was from another part of Brooklyn. He wasn't from where y'all joint was. So they might have said
Listen. I'm trying to tell you something. It really, even people from Bed-Stuy, that was just for the record.
Yeah, that's where he was from.
He was trying to to match a word up. But they don't refer to the Brooklyn is BK at the very
we
least.
Know about BK. Everybody knows about BK. But it's not,
okay,
it's
but
not
nobody knows about the Brook part from Houston, Texas, Minnesota, and Chicago.
All right, the Brook.
Believe.
The Brook, they be wilding on them. They be styling on them. That's what he said. Yeah, that's right. He said blanks from the Brook. I can't say the word. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, be wilding on them. They be styling on them. Yeah.
It has no meaning.
Boy.
No meaning. The
thank
brook.
You.
That sounds
the
like
brook,
somewhere in Green Acres, Long Island, the brook.
The Green Acres, Long Island. That's where you at, the brook.
The brook.
Yes, son. The brook.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Brooklyn, BK, okay. BK already.
Come on, Benay. We need two more remember wins from you.
Remember when? I remember the first time I cut school. I think I was in the seventh grade. Oh, and we went down to Erasmus Hall because they were getting out of school early. And my friend had a crush on one of the basketball players at Erasmus. And we went down the Flatbush and just stood around and waited for the school to get out so she could see this guy and talk to him. It was like the worst. I was like, I'll never cut school again.
Well, you know what? Ironically enough, I remember the first time I cut school. And you know what? There's even footage of the day that I cut school. And if anyone is my Facebook, is a member on my Facebook page, if they're a friend, they can even view that picture.
Wow.
I think I was 15 or 16 years old, and I went to the Bronx to see my friend, my longtime friend, Alex Joseph, rest in peace. And his mother and I walked in the building together.
Oh, my God.
No, it wasn't like, you know, she was like, Sabrina, does your mother know you up here? I was like, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, she don't.
Dead giveaway.
Like, well, not going to let you ride back to Brooklyn by yourself. I'm going to make Alex ride on the train with you. I was like, okay. So while I was there, she was like, look at these two. And oh, by the way, Alex Joseph was a friend of mine that I used to go to summer camp with. I met him, I think I was 6 years old. He was eight. And we used to go to the Fresh Air Fun Camp at Camp Hidden Valley, upstate New York. And we became friends, and we used to correspond during the year, write letters. You know, he would call me, I would call him. And one day he called me, he was like, why don't you come up to school? We can come up to the Bronx. I have a half a day from school. We can hang out, and I could take you around and meet all my friends. And I was thinking to myself, okay. I don't know about this, Alex. He was like, no, it's going to be all right. Let me tell you something. That was the only time I ever cut school. It was the most nerve-wracking day. First of all, I was scared to death because at that time, I'd never been past 66th Street on a train. Okay? I used to go to Martin Luther King High School. I used to take the number two, when the two train was running on the line, from Kingston Avenue. I used to take the two train from Eastern Parkway and Kingston Avenue to 42nd Street, change over, and get the one train to 66th Street. I ain't never been past 66th Street. Now I find myself going to Utica Avenue. I didn't even know how to go there. I was like, you got to tell me how to get there because I don't want to get lost. And, you know, the Bronx is dangerous. I heard about the South Bronx. I live in the South Bronx, but that he lived like he lived in a housing project, which was really rough, called Eden Wall. Oh, my God. And it was at the last stop, Dyer Avenue. So can you imagine riding from the first stop at Utica Avenue all the way up to the Bronx to the last stop, Dyer Avenue?
It's like 2
hours.
Oh,
my God. Unbelievable.
2 hour ride. Whoa.
So my heart is pounding the whole way riding the train. And then I get off. He meets me at the train station, and we're walking towards the building, and his mother gets off early because she figured he's home from half a day of school. She don't want to leave him in the house all day by herself. So she's going to leave early to go come home, right? Woo! Thank you, Miss Joseph. Because when we all three of us is walking in the building together, she says, Sabrina, what are you doing up here? I said, I want to meet Alex's friends. She said, your mother know you up here? I was like, yeah. She said, well, I'm going to make sure Alex ride home on the train with you. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, that was a hell of a day. And being so nervous, and I'm like, come on, we got to go because I got to get home by 5:30. My mother, I got to get home. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
No way.
And my mother is on the line listening. She's just listening. She's not, you know. But, Ma, I'm sorry. I waited to tell you 30 years later. Yes, I cut school. Only one day, though. Only one time.
You learned your lesson, huh?
Oh, man, I was so nervous after that. I was like, I ain't doing this no more. No way.
Because you hear people say, yeah, cutting school. And you're like, okay, I'm going to cut school. And you're like, oh, please, this is nothing. And I don't think I cut school again until I got in high school.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm not very, you know, I'm a technology guru in my own sense, but I hate texting. And I don't understand these acronyms. Could you please tell me what SMH means, somebody?
Making my head.
Oh, okay. I have one of my listeners who's texting me, and that's what he's saying, shaking my head.
Shaking my head.
I mean, look, I'm a good girl, okay? But, you know, once in a while I had to stretch the boundaries, you know? That's how we grow. That's how we learn.
They're shaking their head because you said you cut school?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so funny. Mark.
Mark is sweet.
Actually, Mark left the line. Unbelievable.
Okay. And didn't even say bye.
Didn't even say goodbye.
Bye, Mark. It was nice meeting you again.
All right. We're going to take another caller, and then we're going to end the show. Hold on a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Bree Block's party. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Hello?
Hello.
You know you lost to everybody tonight. But you still got my support.
I left everybody because I told them I cut school.
No. I've been holding on this long. I was sure there was like 100 people ahead of me, but...
Well, there were for the live, but we were just in our own groove. So, this is Timmy from Crown Heights. But he's on the mountain right now.
All right.
So, Timmy, do you have a memorable remember when? Because, what's up?
I don't know which one I should pick from.
Pick the good one, the good juicy one.
Well, I don't think there's going to be enough time. Shoot. I don't have any particular one. Not right now, anyway.
Okay. Well, as usual.
I'm going to have to sit down and draw up a list.
Okay. Well, that'll be part three, the Bree's Block Party. But in the meanwhile, I want to just thank Benay for, one, coming up with the vision of that page because do you know how many members you have as of today? I mean, last week I was rounded it off to 2,300, but, you know, and I think at the time it was like 22-something. But do you know how many members there are on your page today?
But I do remember that after we had the you did your radio show, that, like, it just started, like, picking up, like, really blowing up, you know, like, people were just, like, adding their friends and so forth. So it became, like, really interesting all over again after the show. So I thank you as well for giving us that exposure.
Oh, no problem. I mean, you know, I think it was a wonderful thing, an inventive or creative idea that you came up with, is one that, you know, fosters fellowship amongst people who grew up in a neighborhood and has fond memories. And then you spearheaded and spun off a new page, I Am a Brooklynite for Life. And right. And you know what? I know that there are people and friends of mine who didn't grow up in Crown Heights, or family members of mine who, my mother is in the call queue. But we're running out of time, so surely you're not going to be able to get me for what you might have heard.
Lucky you.
So, you know, I just want to thank you again. You're always a fabulous co-host. And I want to close the show by saying that I appreciate all the listeners. I appreciate all my guest callers. And all you can follow us again on Bree Life Radio at Facebook. You can do so also at Twitter. You can send your questions, comments, and concerns, and constructive criticisms, of course, at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Tomorrow, we are going to have the first of a five-part series of What Do Women Really Want?
All right.
Benay.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to lead off the show tomorrow by saying what women really do want? What do real men? I'm tongue-tied. It's getting late. What do women really want? What do we really want?
I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for Benay.
Okay.
That's
what does Benay want?
In a man, a Christian man, a man who loves God. That's what I'm after, a man who is seeking God's heart. Yes. See,
okay.
It's what Benay wants.
Okay.
Can't speak for
and
no
now, what
woman.
What qualities and characteristics, you know, other than being an aligned man spiritually that you want?
I like smart men. I like them to be really smart. So that's like number two on the list, you know. I don't go for looks or anything, because I believe that beauty is skin deep. So that's Benay.
Okay. Well, I hope that you call in tomorrow.
Okay.
And I wanna again thank my listeners and encourage everyone to follow Bree Life Radio. Tell your friends and your family and your coworkers, because it's always a fun time on Bree Life Radio. We don't do any men bashing, women bashing here. And I'm going to close out the show by saying peace and love. And we're going to close the show with the intro music on the outro. This is the Bree Life Radio theme. I'm your guest host. I'm your host, Bree, and I want to thank you all for listening. Care, peace, blessings.
Yeah, Adrian, in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got
got time to sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So